This is the AR Podcast.
I know what he means. In magic and in life, there's only the present moment, the now. You can't measure time the way you measure the distance between two points. Time doesn't pass. We human beings have enormous difficulty in focusing on the present. We're always thinking about what we did, about how we could have done it better, about the consequences of our actions, and why we didn't act as we should have. Or else, we think about the future, about what we're going to do tomorrow, what precautions we should take, what dangers await us around the next corner, how to avoid what we don't want, and how to get what we have always dreamed of. Jay takes up the conversation again. Right here and now, you're beginning to wonder, is there really something wrong? Yes, there is. But at this precise moment, you also realize that you can change your future by bringing the past into the present. Past and future only exist in our mind. The present moment, though, is outside of time. It's eternity. In India, they use the word karma for lack of any better term. But it's a concept that's rarely given a proper explanation. It isn't what you did in the past that will affect the present. It's what you do in the present that will redeem the past and thereby change the future. So, he pauses, becoming increasingly irritated at my inability to grasp what he's trying to explain to me. There's no point sitting here, using words that mean nothing. Go and experiment. It's time you get out of here. Go and reconquer your kingdom, which has grown corrupted by routine. Stop repeating the same lesson because you won't learn anything new that way. It's not routine that's the problem. I'm simply not happy. That's what I mean by routine. You think that you exist because you're unhappy. Other people exist merely as a function of their problems and spend all their time talking compulsively about their children, their husband, school, work, friends. They never stop to think, I'm here. I'm the result of everything that happened and will happen. But I'm here. If I did something wrong, I can put it right, or at least ask forgiveness. If I did something right, that leaves me happier and more connected with the now. Jay takes a deep breath, then concludes. You're not here anymore. You've got to leave in order to return to the present. Hey guys, this is Ali Ruskash, the host of the AR Podcast. What you just listened to was an extract from Paulo Coelho's Aleph. Aleph, Paulo's 14th major book, is simply outstanding. I've just started this book and couldn't resist but to share a page or two with you guys. It touches on the theme of spirituality, and I believe it has actually touched my soul. If you could get your hands on an English version of it, it would be awesome. Before I introduce my first guest, please just bear in mind that everything about the interviews will only get better in time, so all I'm asking for you is to be patient. Thank you. Anyways, my first ever guest on the show is a very well-known actor slash director. One of my favorites, he was generous enough to share his time with us and squeeze us in his very tight schedule. We had an amazing conversation. Please welcome Mr. Ali Mustafa.
This is the AR Podcast.
So I'm sitting here with one of the people who I really adore as a director, as an actor, and this is quite an honor for me to sit down with you and talk to you. I follow your work, and you, for me, you're one of the most exciting people currently working in Iran. So basically, this whole project that I'm working on right now is a series of podcasts that I'm doing with intellectuals of my country, basically, people who I think are important. And I want the people of my country to understand that intellectuals of our country can hold a conversation in English, and they can talk in English. So basically, to start this, I recently talked to you before this podcast, and you mentioned a method in which you started to learn French, and you wanted to, basically you went to France for the movie The Pest, if I'm not mistaken, and there was a method, and you talked about a method, and if it's okay for you, can you tell us what that method was?
So first, let me thank you for your enthusiasm and the fact that you are one of my fans is really pleasant to me, but honestly, I'm not an important person. I mean, how can I be an important person? I mean, in what way? I don't know.
I'll explain it to you.
Okay. So I was in Paris, and I was supposed to, for the first time, act in another language, and that was really a great challenge. Personally, the way I act depends very much on the way I talk and the way I can sort of change my dialogues the way I wanted them to be. And when a film begins, in fact, a fight begins between me and the writer of the script, because I do not like the dialogues the way they have been written, and I do my best to change them. But here, this would be impossible because I did not know French. I had a basic knowledge of the language way back when I was 19 years old. I had classes in French. Well, it's true that Leila, as my wife, was a French speaker. She kept speaking French with our kids, and I kept listening to them. But so I did know the music of the language. I had some basic knowledge, but practically I could not speak French. Yeah. So this was what I told Mr. Farhadi to begin with, but then they thought that I was being modest and I was trying to surprise them perhaps, but I was telling them the honest truth that I did not know how to speak French. They did not believe me, and they said, no, you are probably joking or something, because we know that you can speak French. But then I asked them to give me the opportunity to spend some time before the beginning of the shooting in Paris and go to classes. So I went to Alliance Française. Or is it Alliance Française? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this language is really difficult.
It is very difficult, yes. Yeah.
And it's not logical at all.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Yeah.
So we went to classes, and there was this class which was Français par le théâtre. And we were supposed to memorize dialogues and act. And then after that, the teacher would explain some grammatical points and would talk about some words and things like that. But the basis of the class was the theater pieces.
So do you think this method would work in English as well?
I think it would. I mean, this gives the opportunity to the pupils to stand up before their classmates and to act, try to be someone else. Mm-hmm. And when you are trying to learn another language, sometimes you have to try to be someone else. Yeah. Because if you want to keep being yourself, then you're going to think in your own native language, and this is not going to work at all.
When I first asked you, like, because I knew that your French was pretty good, maybe like the same mistake that I,
yes.
Mr. Farhadi made. I asked you, I said, so I know your French is pretty good, but I don't really know how your English is. And you said, I don't know French. And I'm like, what? Because based on the things that I knew about you. So as a person who knows a little bit of French, I think your performance in the past didn't really show any of the fact that like you were an amateur or anything. It basically showed me that you know a lot of French. And I knew that your wife knew a lot of French. So it wasn't a surprise for me at the time. I was like, okay, fine. So this is a family who, like everybody in the family knows French. So
So you went to France to learn the French, and did that take a long time? I think it took.
No, I only had 2 months
To prepare for the
film, and at the same time, it's Mr. Farhad is the style that he wants to his actors and his crew to sort of warm up for the work at least 1 month before the shooting begins.
Yeah.
So at the same time, we had other sessions with the crew and with the other actors, yeah, and the main actress. And at the same time, I went to this intensive course in French. But it's not that I did not know any French. I did know the basics. Yeah. I had a course, a grammar course. And I also used to have a private teacher in French before became an actor.
Yeah.
I very much liked to be able to speak French. Mm-hmm. The language always seemed impossible for me.
Okay.
And it still is impossible for me. I can manage conversations, I can read, but it's not the way I like to learn the language. I like to have a command. I like to be able to make my own sentences.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you how you got into acting, mm-hmm, but before that, I'm going to ask you another question. How did you get into English?
I was, I think, 14 years old or 15 years old, and my English was very poor. I was punished by the teacher at school, and my mother told me, why don't you try to learn the language? I said, okay, how can I learn the language? Because the way they taught English in those years in high schools was really, I think it still is the same way. I mean,
I think so, yeah.
Logically, you cannot learn English in the schools. Is it still the same?
I think so. They haven't.
That was the way it was at that time. She had a friend in Shuku's English Institute. And she asked her if I could go to classes there, and then I began going to classes there. It was, I think it was 1360.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
When you think about it, yes.
And those years, I guess you know that this is the darkest decade of our lives.
Okay.
The 60s. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the prime of my life. And so it was supposed to be the happiest years.
Fancy.
And it was a very interesting contradiction. So this institute was like somewhere which had not seen anything of the revolution, had remained intact. Mm-hmm. There was this cinema theater, and they showed films which were not censored. And you could watch films which you could not believe that you are watching these films in Engelab Street, the year 1361. It seemed that no one was aware what was going on inside the institute. So for us, this was like a paradise. I mean, at the same time going to school, which was like hell, and then going to the institute was going to the paradise. So we loved the classes there.
I see. So when did you start liking movies?
The same place. I mean, we used to go to the theater there, and we watched films for, I don't know, I watched films for 30 times, mm-hmm, the same film. Mm-hmm. It's true that my enthusiasm for movies started there. I can even tell you which film it was. It was Polanski's Tenant. Mm-hmm. I liked the film very much. Of course, I watched it 20, 30 times.
So this was the basis of...
Yes, I think it began there.
Mm-hmm. And
at the same time, trying to understand what they said in the films, mm-hmm, because we were at the same time studying English, made it even deeper. I mean, we had to go deeper into the movie. We had to look up the words. We had to read about the movie itself. So it all happened very naturally. without any intentions beforehand.
One of the methods that I tell basically all my students to go for is to watch a lot of movies. And because in movies, you need to, number one, you need to understand what's happening in the movie. So you have to listen very carefully. And when you listen, it changes your whole basically perspective of English, the language. And it helps you in all ways possible, basically. So
yes, but nowadays it's totally different. I mean, it's so easy to get in touch with people speaking English, so easy to watch films, so easy to listen to the news. Those years you had only the opportunity to watch a film once a week or, I don't know, three times a week. And you could not go back and listen again. I mean, it was only once. You had to wait for another projection of the film. And, for example, I remember we listened to the BBC or to the VOA, and it was so difficult trying to tune. And it was really difficult. I mean, when you compare the situation now and the opportunities now, the ease of access, the availability. It's, I mean, for us it was a dream being able to listen to the news without the funny noises.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because a lot of people come up to me and say, there are no sources available, so what am I supposed to do with all I had? Maybe if you were, in the year 1360s or something, you would understand that the sources were really scarce, so you had to find sources like that. So
I remember being able to have a conversation with a native speaker was out of the question.
Yeah.
I remember once we had this... this piece of advertisement in the paper. They were looking for people who could speak English, and each time we dialed the numbers and we tried to fake conversations of, okay, what can we do? What are the job offers? And
you got into acting. Mm-hmm. Did you get everything from acting as you basically expected it before?
Well, I do not consider myself an actor, to tell you the truth. I was not very much interested to become an actor. It happened to me. Someone came up to me and said, would you like to be an actor? And I thought he was joking. And then he kept coming to me and kept coming to me. And so, okay, why don't you come over and we could have a test or something. And then it really happened to me, and I was very much reluctant because I never thought I could act, and I do not think that I can act. It's a really difficult thing for me to do, acting, and I do not consider myself an actor. So I've always been trying to somehow do the job and get rid of it. I'm not really into acting. This has never been my dream, being an actor.
So can I ask you what has been your dream so far? Yeah. And now you're being modest.
No, not really. I'm telling you the truth. And then people kept telling me that, wow, you are an actor, and why not come and have another film and another film? And
as a fan, please continue. Like, never stop. Please, never stop. You got into acting, and right now, do you consider yourself more of a director or an actor?
Well, I would like to be able to consider myself more of a director, but I have not been directing much. I've only directed two films.
Yeah.
But yes, I would like to be a director. Mm-hmm. It's a bit late now, but...
No, there's never too many. I remember I watched your movie, The Last Step, mm-hmm. and It was around that time that I went out of my house, and this is some sort of a memory that I have from you. My house was very close to the Apadana Street, and I was walking down the street, and it's really funny because I was thinking about your movie, and as I'm like walking and I'm thinking, I see you walking in the street. And I'm thinking, okay, this must be like, you know, this is a dream, right? I was just thinking about you. And you're getting closer, and I'm seeing you have your kit with you. And I was dying to talk to you and to say that, like, this was an amazing movie, or like, I don't know, have a selfie or something with you. So I'm approaching you, and I'm seeing you have your kit with you. I'm like, okay, fine. This is some sort of a, like... You would think that when somebody comes out with their kid, like, it's some sort of a privacy that they need right now. They don't want, like, you know, even fans to come around them and ask them questions. So I said hi to you, and you said hi back. And for me, I went home. I was like, Mom, I just saw. Yeah, and of course, my mom adores you as well. We watched the movie The Last Step like a thousand times. And every time, it just felt like a new experience.
Thank you.
So you have seen the basically the European cinema and what's happening in our country. Do you think we're more we are basically closer to that cinema as to like, you know, places like the United States with Hollywood?
Yes, in fact, we have the same basis. In fact, the way cinema is understood here is, this is what I learned later when I acted in the film The Past and I worked with a French crew. The basis is the same, and it is apparently very much different from the way it is in the United States. But we have been doing it the way Europeans have been doing it. That's true.
And do you have any favorite European directors or movies that you would like to talk about?
Recent movies?
It doesn't matter.
Honestly, I haven't been watching films for the last 15 years. You see, now watching movies does not happen in one session. I watch movies in three sessions.
Yes.
I watch the first 10 minutes and then, I don't know why it's like that. I used to be sort of a film buff, but I'm not anymore. And at that time, I watched a lot of movies by Polanski, Bergman, David Lynch, and many others. But I've never been a very ardent fan of one particular director. I mean, I have never been like that. There are many people who love, for example, Tarkovsky or Bergman.
Yeah.
I have never been like that. I don't know why. I haven't been able to focus on one particular director and find whatever I want in his works.
When somebody tries to enter the movie industry in our country, they have a couple of basically paths that they can take and they can choose from. One of them is, of course, going to the universities and learning basically acting and directing academically. Which way do you think is the best way to enter this industry? Is it going to universities, or do you think it's like learning it experimentally?
Well, the natural way is going to universities. You cannot say that I know of another way which works better.
Mm-hmm.
But from my experience, people who have learned it on the set have been more successful. I mean, people who learn it on the set, it seems that they learn it more naturally. Whereas people who come from universities, they have some sort of ideals in their minds and some sort of clear-cut frameworks which they find difficult to overpass or
overcome, like a mindset that they have.
Yes, okay. Yes, exactly. And that makes things a bit difficult. I mean, when someone learns something in the form of theories, then he would find less courage to act. This is what I have been observing.
Okay. Because in my field, which is architecture, we enter the universities with that freedom, basically, still intact. And we're thinking, okay, I'm going to design this and that and that. We have these mindsets for ourselves. And after a while, we understand that maybe this is not the thing that we actually, those ideals change.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking professors in our universities, they kind of enforce their ideas into the ideas of students. And this has been happening in my field in architecture. And like everybody knows it, it's not a secret.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that happens as well, like in acting?
You see, in the cinema industry, this is somehow different from other fields. Because was it Bernard Shaw who said that people who can do something do it, others just teach it?
Not sure, but...
I think it was him saying that people who cannot do something prefer to teach it. Mm-hmm. This happens very much in the cinema industry.
So, as an actor, when you're working in a production and you're in a movie and you're in a movie set, since you've had the experience of directing, do you give ideas to the director as well as acting? Do you give suggestions?
It depends. If I find that the director would like receiving ideas and is the type of director who would welcome ideas, I would. There are other directors, mostly people who are making their first features. They don't like to be given ideas. They think that because they don't know it. They think that becoming a director means that you should do everything yourself. And they think it would be sort of a failure asking other people's opinions. But real directors would ask your opinion and would welcome ideas, no matter coming from whom.
Are you the sort of director that accepts suggestions?
Yes, I think I do. But sometimes you do not have the concentration to hear suggestions. You do not hear them at all. They keep telling you things, but you do not have the concentration.
Yeah. So you are a father. I'm asking you, what was the challenges that you faced as an actor to have kids? And when you had kids, basically, what were the new challenges that you started facing? The limitations maybe that...
Because of being an actor?
Being an actor and having kids at the same time. Because I understand that your wife, of course, you are a celebrity couple. You guys both are actors and you both are active. So did that give you any limitations or...
Not really. Because, to begin with, I've not been as active as Leila has been. So I had a lot of time to stay with the kids. And we always found ways to have time for them, to arrange things in a way which would not harm them. No, we have never had that kind of problem. I mean, we always had time. Being an actor gives you a lot of time, in fact, because honestly, actors don't do anything. They just keep nagging and they have a lot of time.
Okay.
It's true that they always say that we are very busy people, always acting in films, and we need time to concentrate, we need time to get into the role. But it's not been the way I've been doing it.
Okay.
I've had a lot of time.
Thank God, because that gave you a lot of time to start thinking about your movies and produce amazing movies as you have. When somebody gives you a script to read, what are the things that you basically have to check? And you need to see for yourself to understand that maybe this movie is the kind of movie that I'd like to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be very difficult for me accepting films. It's not been the case during the last 3 or 4 years. It's not been as difficult. I don't know why, because I used to be the kind of actor which would keep refusing roles. For me, the most important thing is that I can imagine myself acting the role, or imagine myself saying the dialogues. The dialogues are very much important for me. So what I do, I begin to read the dialogues and try to see whether I can imagine myself saying the lines. If I can, I accept it. If I find it very, very far from myself, I try not to accept it. Because I'm the type of actor who is trying to get the role closer to me rather than trying to approach the role. I mean, this is sort of selfish, but I've been trying to make things more comfortable for me rather than for the role which has been written. So I always try to convince the writer or the director that it's true that you want the person to be like this, but what if I do this instead? Would you accept it? It's true that the character is not exactly the same, but it's not very much different. It is interesting the way you have written it, but it can be as interesting in another way, the way I do it like this. If he accepts it, then I know that I can work with him and I accept the role.
So you have to see yourself in the role.
Yes, yes.
So you said you've been accepting roles quite, like, you know, it's been easier for you to accept roles recently. Do you think it's because you think that our cinema is changing and the way they think now is closer to how you're thinking?
Yes, our cinema has been changing. I mean, our directors have been changing. We have a new generation of directors. We do not have the same directors anymore. I mean, I remember that we always said we are not going to have many films because, for example, Mr. Meiji is going to make one film every 2 years. So we're going to have one film every 2 years. There were only a few number of people you could consider great directors. But now you can always think that perhaps this new director is going to be a new talent. I remember we were convinced that other than these four people, the rest are hopeless cases. And we know that nothing is ever going to happen with them. But this has completely changed now.
Do you think it's been changing for the good?
Yes, it's been changing for the good, yes.
Recently, my wife and I, we both are movie fanatics. We love movies. And we used to go to cinemas a lot. But recently, like in the past 2 or 3 years, we think that most of the movies are negative. And when you come out of the cinemas, you're thinking, okay, this didn't make me happy. And I'm not saying that all the movies should, but it just feels for me like, you know, there's a wave of movies coming in with that sort of a expectation that you know you're going to get something negative from this movie and it's going to make you cry and you're going to come out of it feeling bad. And do you think that's true?
That's true, yes. I don't think we can analyze this. I mean, this is the way it is. It can be because festivals welcome films of that sort more than other types. It can be because we are experiencing a very sad life as a people, and this is a natural reflection of the truth in our films. It can be because, I don't know, people think that perhaps if they make films which give a positive feeling to the viewers, is not really art. I don't know. I think we should not try to analyze this. This is the way it is, and I think it's natural. It will change, I guess.
Okay.
Because viewers are getting tired of this.
Yeah, they are. And one of the reasons that I haven't been going to cinema is basically this. Except if it's basically your work. Because I grew up understanding this, that you don't accept all the roles in the world, meaning you think about them. And the things that are accepted in your own world, you go for that. And I respect that. For me, it's amazing to have somebody who thinks like this. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking about Hollywood and how different it is to Iranian cinema. They're completely two different things. I'm not saying that they're at all similar, because that's a huge production. That's an industry, complete industry. And I was like, every year they come up with these superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man, Batman, and these kind of movies come out. And there are a lot of people that would go for these movies and would pay a lot of money to watch these movies. I was thinking, this can never happen in a country like Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Because like our people are more into the social activities and like, you know, the day-to-day lives. That matters for us. And like we are more into politics. But you're thinking like maybe American people are not that into politics as we are. We're constantly checking the dollar rates. Yeah. Is it going up? Is it coming down? So maybe this is one of the reasons that people are more into, like, you know, movies that are more social than like, you know, superhero movies maybe. So this was my interpretation of this, the whole...
But of course there is a system which controls the type of movies being produced. I mean, it's true that the people controlling things, I mean, the Ministry of whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
What was it in George Orwell's 1984, Ministry of what? There was this... I've forgotten this. Ministry of Happiness or Ministry of something like that.
Okay.
They don't like types of films being produced. So we cannot really judge. If they allowed these types of movies, perhaps the Iranian audience would go for them.
Maybe. If we've never entered that. So
yes.
Maybe. Nowadays, we see these types of movies that are more...
Sorry, it was Ministry of Love.
Ministry of Love.
Yes.
I can understand that.
So that is it. Our Ministry of Love would not like that type of love being projected.
Mm-hmm.
They like another type of love being projected.
I understand. That's completely understandable.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we see these movies which are more conceptual.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the audience think more. And for a movie lover like myself, I love those types of movies. The kind of movies that makes you go, like, what happened? Like, what's going on? Why? I thought this movie should have gone on for another, like, an hour to give me a result. There's no result, basically, sometimes in the movies. I'm fond of these movies. I had told you before that one of the my favorite directors of all time is Terrence Malick, because he comes up with these conceptual ideas, and he doesn't show you anything directly. He's always indirect, showing you something and making you understand something else. That's his art for me. And I've seen that in some of the movies that you've worked in, like the movie What's the Time in Your World?
Mm-hmm.
When the movie was over, this is another memory that I have. It's the movie was over, and I was my wife and I were sitting in the cinema on the seats, and there was a couple in front of us, and they looked at each other. They were like, what happened? Like, what was the meaning? Everybody's searching for some sort of a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to understand what happened in the movie. And when I got it, I was like, I need to watch this again. And this is the beauty of these types of movies. It makes you want to go for it again. Do you think our audience, the people of our country, are ready for these types of movies right now? Because we don't really see a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're ready?
I think it's not only our people. I mean, elsewhere it's the same. There are only a limited number of viewers who would go for this type of movie. This limited might be, I don't know, it differs in different countries. But in our country, as far as I am concerned, as the producer of the film, I can understand that, well, the public liked the film very much, but their reaction to the ending of the film, since they liked the film up to the point where it ended, they accepted the ending.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of our viewers would not be satisfied with that type of ending.
They're always searching for a result.
Yes, they want a definite result. They want to be able to have a conclusion, and only one clear conclusion. They do not like to keep thinking about all possible meanings of one thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like it.
I see.
But as time goes by, we watch more and more movies of that type, and we can see that our viewers are getting used to that and are beginning to show interest for this type of movies. This is good. And I think it's changing all the time. It's getting more and more sophisticated. And the type of films that viewers would watch.
Do you think our people are more into comedy?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same elsewhere.
But at the same time, do you think our comedy is up to par with comedies of other countries? Like, you know, when I go to watch a comedy movie, first of all, what I think is this is going to be another movie of jokes that is not going to make me laugh, mm-hmm. or it's just going to make me smile at the, mm-hmm. at the most. I'm not saying that all of our movies are like this, all the comedy movies, but there are like exceptions, of course, but most of them are like this. And even though I've seen a lot of changes, as you've said, in the other types of, in like drama, we've seen a lot of changes, but in comedy, we're still focused on, one sort of comedy.
Yes.
And
I don't like our comedies.
Yeah.
I don't like our comedies at all. I think the type of the films that we make as comedies is a very inferior type.
Coming out of this, I think right now, as we speak, TV mm-hmm. is a major thing again. For me, when like 10 years ago, cinema was the biggest thing. And after a while, TV started to make a comeback. And we've seen a lot of different actors who are from cinema. I'm not talking about Iran, I'm talking about other countries, that would go onto TV and go onto these serials, and the serials would be a huge success.
Yes.
But we don't really see that in Iran. Like, I don't really think that's happening anytime soon. One of the roles that I think everybody remembers you from is from the serial called The English Bag, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And you were on TV at the time. You were on TV. But we have never seen you make a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a personal reason to this, or?
Yes, it is very personal. I mean, I was very much against having movies on TV. I would not accept the role. And I still regret doing that.
Okay.
I think in our country, it's very much different being on TV. It's not elsewhere. It's not, especially nowadays. You see so many successful TV serials everywhere. But in our country, still, I think, I do not find it appropriate for an actor to act on TV. Because it's not only a matter of art, it's a social issue. When you see that TV is, I don't know what word to use for it. Could I say antisocial? Or, I don't know. It's against your people.
Okay.
So you don't like to be on TV when you find it against your people, when you find it against all your values.
I see.
You sort of think that going there would create a very nasty history for you. I mean, what would my children think about when they...
Yeah.
I still regret doing that movie.
Okay. What is...
But I know that it was very successful and...
It was really...
Many people know me for that movie. And it was a good one. But the fact that we were on TV still bothers me. And I did appear once more, only once after that. And that was a second mistake. But I'm not going to do that again.
Okay. In the movie, there are things you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed something which was quite fascinating to me, was that it felt for me like the types of movies you do are always connected to architecture. Is that true?
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting and I'm realizing this, that maybe it's your suggestions or whatever it is. It's just the types of movies that you do is always like the last step.
Yeah.
You were an architect in that, right?
Yes.
So like you always thought that last step could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
Are you connected to?
I did very much like to be an architect, and I tried to be an architect. I remember going to some classes. Going to that class convinced me that I cannot be an architect, because I thought that if you want to be an architect, you should be able to paint, you should be able to draw. And I thought I could draw, but then I was convinced that I did not have the talent. I think I was mistaken, I'm not sure. Then I went for civil engineering, which was a total failure. And I hated the subject. But I think I should have gone for architecture. I like it very much, yes.
Yeah. So basically in the movie The Last Step, every time you talked about architecture, I
yes,
think,
yes,
yeah, this is like, because you had written that movie. So
I like building very much.
Yeah.
I like designing very much. I think I should have gone that way.
It's never too late. It's never too late. You can always, because architecture taught me that you can, you're not supposed to be pointing towards a subject if you're talking about it. I always have this problem whenever I'm watching TV and there's an advertisement that comes on. I can see that everybody is pointing towards the subject.
Yes.
And sometimes when they want to be indirect, it doesn't make any sense. And you're like, what are they talking about? And then at the end, I'm like, this was an advertisement about a bank? Like, this was not about bank. That was completely different. So this is one of the things that architecture taught me. And I'm very grateful that I went to architecture, because I would not have understood this. And the other thing that architecture teaches you is that Failure is not a problem. Like, you can fail 1,000 times, but that 1,001 time that you get it right, that's the feeling that you should be going for every time you're trying to design something. So I'm very grateful for that. Yeah. One thing that really caught me off guard, I was my wife and I, we went to this movie called The Dragon Arrives. The Dragon Arrives, and we were not expecting to see you in the movie, right? Because you were, like, you know, as an actor, you were not listed in the actors. And as the movie goes on, I'm like, is that the voice of
recognize
like, what's happening? And we listen, I'm like, yeah, that's got to be him. And later on, I saw that your name was as a voice actor. What is the difference between voice acting and acting? Because I think voice acting is a lot harder because people don't see you.
Well, I do not have any experience in that field. I've been only, I've just been reading narrations for friends. And Mani was one of them for that film. I liked the film very much, and I liked the narration which he'd written, which came from a book. So I did it. I do not have any experience being a voice actor. I think that must be very difficult.
Yeah. Well, did you find it pleasing?
I can imagine that it can be very difficult. I had an experience dubbing the film The Past, because we dubbed it here in Iran, and I dubbed for myself. That was the only experience I had. No, I can't say that it's very difficult. It must be very difficult.
Is there any director right now? It could be any director, basically. That if they come to you and ask you for to be participating in a role, that you wouldn't even think about the script and you would just say, okay, fine, because I really want to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody?
Yes, there are many, but I would be afraid to do that because I must be sure what the dialogues are. I cannot do that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is my problem. This has been my problem. When you go to other actors, they like it. They're looking for challenges. They're looking for situations where they are going to be like they have never been before.
Mm-hmm.
But this worries me a lot. I'm not the type of actor who would go for any role.
I'm
more conservative.
Yeah. And do you think, do you consider yourself a book reader?
No, not really. I'm very lazy in reading books. I began reading books trying to learn English. I began reading Agatha Christie and then George Orwell. I remember reading a lot of D.H. Lawrence and things like that. But I've been a very lazy reader.
Yes.
Especially when I compare it with other people around me. I see them reading books every day. I can say that during 1 year, I find it very difficult to read. I begin reading, I go the first 20 or 30 pages, and then I stop reading the book. Then I go back to the book again, and I have totally forgotten that I have already begun reading this book. No, I'm not a good reader. I cannot justify it. I'm not a good reader.
No. I understand. Would you suggest your kids to start reading books?
Yes. Yes, very much. It's true that anything you lack, you want your kids to enjoy.
So interesting. Would you want them to follow your path? And
no, not at all. Not at all. It's not a glorious path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, basically, for your time. This is this was an honor to even think about it. When I was thinking about it, I was like, oh my God, this is going to happen. So thank you so much for everything.
You're welcome.
For all the things you've done. And please continue what you're doing. Never stop. Just know that there are people sitting in their homes waiting for your movies to come out.
Thank you very much.
And before I finish this podcast, mm-hmm. Would you like to challenge, because this was sort of a challenge to sit down and talk to somebody who is from your country, but in another language.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to challenge somebody else to do this? Like if you wanted to name somebody for us to go after next, who would you like to challenge?
Would it have to be someone famous?
It has to be somebody who is into arts and an artist, basically.
For me, when you say an artist, the image which comes to my mind is Mr. Mehrjee.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I enjoy when he talks about something. It's really an enjoyable experience talking to him or listening to him. I don't know whether you would be able to find him, but I would listen to it.
It would be very
with all my heart, yes.
But knowing that you will listen to it, I will definitely go for it, definitely. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I had a blast. He's the best. I was so intimidated by his presence in the room. A very fun guy to sit down and talk to. Anyways, thank you all for tuning in. If you had suggestions, please feel free to email them to me. Thank you again. See you soon.
Thank you for tuning in.